Perek Lamed Aleph, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Dalet. This section we began yesterday discusses Ashur, the nation of Ashur. Okay, so the Pesukim are pretty straightforward. There are a limited number of Midrashim, so we'll try to do our best to move through this as quick as possible. Pasuk Dalet begins Mayim Gidlu. We are describing all of the characteristics, the greatness, the grandeur of Ashur. Mayim Gidluhu, water. Water is what made it great. And again, there's a mashal. The metaphor is a forest. And in the forest, there are some beautiful trees. And the most magnificent tree here is this Erez, this magnificent cedar tree, which has a thick spread of branches and leaves, provides shade, provides shelter, and it towers high above all of the other trees in the forest. And of course, trees need water. So it says here, Mayim Gidluhu, there was no shortage of water. Water caused the tree to grow great. Tehoim ro mi mosu. The tehoim means the depths of the sea. Again, it's a reference to water. The tehoim caused this nation to be elevated, or caused the tree to be elevated. Es naharo seho, its rivers. Hoilech svivos mata'a, the rivers surrounded its plants. Mata means the bed. The area where all of the trees were planted, the small rivers, Shilcha, sent forth, Teloseha, to make sure I'm translating it right, means also like the irrigation canals, that Teloseha, Shilcha, were sent forth to this El Kolatseha, to all of the trees of the field. So if you notice in this pasuk, there are four different ways to describe water. Four different ways to describe a source of water. Number one is Mayim. Number two is Tehoim. Number three is Naharoiseha. And number four is Te'oloiseha. What's the significance? I don't know, but I'm sure there is something very deep over here. Four different ways to describe its source of Mayim. I guess you want to say that if you want to say this refers to the economy of a country, over here, Ashur, and the Mayim over here represents its economy. They were diversified. Just in case one industry collapsed, they had plenty of support, plenty of backup thing, industries to keep the country going in case of disaster. Let's see the pasuk dalet in the mitzvah of Mayim Gidluhu. Hamayim Hishku, I saw the water watered this field, the gidlo and caused it to become great. Utochaim harimu lamala, b'roiv ha'goydel. And the Tehoim caused it to be elevated very high. Each one of the rivers would surround the Mata. The plants, the place where the trees are planted. All the rivers surrounded the area where it was planted. Its irrigation canals. Okay, also Amas Amayim Shahim Chalgimayim Ketanim Shulcha HaTehoim El. So he writes Shulcha, the Tehoim, the depths, it sent forth water through these irrigation canals to where? El Kolatze Asad L'Hashkoisam Ayin HaMoshel Hu Shoyu Sancher Melech HaGadol Mikol Ba'malchei HaAdama. The Mitzudas here is doing us a favor, and he's explaining over here what exactly is the metaphor. Melech Ashur was the most magnificent king of all the kings. V'hoyim Mushpa B'toy V'merubo, he was blessed. Hashem bestowed upon him a very great Baracha V'Hashpos, because Umus Hoyim Nachsham Kimat Kod L'mul Hashposai. All of the other nations, whatever another nation had to offer, was nothing. Was minor relative to the greatness of Melech Ash. That's why it's over here. V'yel to losecha called Atzei Asod. Atzei Asod refers to the other nations, and from Melech Ash, there were irrigation canals. The economy of the entire world depended upon the economy of Asher. Asher was the source. From Asher went forth irrigation canals to all of the other trees. The streams of revenue of every nation were 100% dependent upon the blessing in the nation of Ashur. Rashi Pasuk Dalid. Let's see what it says over here. Pasuk Dalid begins with Te'olosecha. Okay, I don't know if you have a Dibur HaMasl in my edition. Do you have a Dibur HaMasl in your edition? Anyone following along in the Rashi? Rashi Pasuk Dalid. Do you see a Pasuk Dalid?
No.
No, still do I. I think
but I do see a Mayim Gibulus. So they just forgot to mark it.
Right, goes to Te'olosecha. Before that, go back one word before Te'olosecha. This is a French word. Abu Chol's not here today. Okay, Eskolatzi Asod. The next word is Eskolatzi Asod. Lahashkoisam, to give it to water it. Vahadugma kitaguma yal yishol yonison ha atura dame la'ar la'arza bilivna.
Well, you know it's twice.
What?
Okay, it does mark
it
down. Okay.
You do have it? I don't
yeah,
have
it. Yeah, it's
the top
of the column now.
You have a pasuk dalet.
Yeah, yeah.
So my edition, there's no doubt. This must be an error. You see that? Even this, it's very rare to find an error in this edition. This, they really did good. This, they really didn't play around with. Dalia, tell him, okay, send him back. The other one has littered, the blue is littered with mistakes. But this is pretty, pretty solid. This you very rarely find anything. All right. El kol atzei asade lahashkoisam hadugma kitagumai shal yonison ha aturoa dame laarza bilivna. I think what it means over here is that this nation was comparable to an arza, to a cedar in the Lebanon, kivo amud, as we discussed in the past. Straightforward. Next. Mayim gidluhu tohoim ro mi mosu. He just quotes a lot of Targum here. The amamaya siga bisum chavasa tekef yosmalka shabe litchois malchuse. Among the nations, he was very great. Bismichavasa, and I don't know what that word means. Tekef yos malchaya, shabe litchois malchuse. All of the other nations were subordinate, were under his authority. V'yashul toynohi mani al kol medinas ara. His authority was spread upon all of the nations of the world. So this pasuk is basically telling us over here is that he was that Sancheriv Melech Ashur controlled the world. Uve midrash agada uve navoisim choisot samarto mehechon zochel gedula. So this the Radak quoted this yesterday. From where did he derive his greatness? Lefisha nimna. Me'atzas dor haflaga shenemar min aretz ahi yotza Ashur, from that land Bavel, where people were coming together to rebel against Hashem, Ashur distanced himself. Kishenasu kol boy olam kiliya achas, one braid lavo, to enter be'etza in a conspiracy in an alliance, limroid boy, to rebel against Hashem. At that moment in time, Ashur was a branch to itself. They refused to participate in this act of rebellion against Hashem, and did not join them. And those words are come out the same words that we had yesterday in the Radak. The Radak quoted this from Chazal. Radak quoted in the Pasuk before, and Rashi waited to this Pasuk. Mayim gidluhu tohoim ro mi masu v'yal shashama kol yoyna ben amitai shiyor la tohoim. So here's a beautiful medrash. Because shashama, they listened to the words of Yoyna ben Amitai shiyor la tohoim v'shavu anshe ninve min hachamos asher b'chapehem. So it says here, what does it mean over here? The mayim made them great, the tohoim elevated them. So here he has a beautiful drasha, is that it refers to Yoyna ben Amitai, who was swallowed up by the fish and was spit out, and he went to Nineveh and he told the people of Nineveh, you should do teshuvah, because if you do not do teshuvah, Hashem is going to destroy you. Indeed, they listened, they did teshuvah, and here the pasuk is telling us that is a very big debate. When exactly did the mice of Yonah happen? When exactly did Yonah go to Nineveh to give them mussar? At what point in time? So according to... Sometimes, so Ashur in its prime was approximately 200 years before the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So the story of Yonah must have taken place before that. And Rashi, the Medrash, is telling us that the reason why Ashur rose to such great prominence and such greatness was also because they listened to the Navi, Yonah, they did teshuvah, and that that was noticed by Hashem, and He rewarded them by granting this nation incredible wealth and success and dominance over the entire world. In addition to what Rashi said a few moments before, and we learned in the Radak yesterday, in addition to the Zechus, that they did not participate with all of the other nations in building the Migdal Bavel to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, and that's how he learned. That's how he learned Shalom in these two psukim. In Pasuk Gimel, he says over here. Go back to Pasuk Gimel. He says, "Uvein avoisim hoisot samarta." So the Medrash says, amongst all of the other branches in the forest, it was noticeable the branch, the center branch of Ashur. What does that mean? All the other branches got together. They colluded in a rebellion against Hashem. And Ashur's branch was separate. They refused to join together with all of the other trees in rebelling against Hashem by building the Migdal Bavel. And the next pasuk is, what else was their zechus? Their zechus was from the Mayim, Gid Luhu, from the person who came from the water. Yonah ben Amittai, who traveled
the depths
of the sea, the Tohoim, Romim, Masu, from the Tohoim, from these two. The reason why they were elevated was because of Yonah, who was swallowed up in the depths by the fish on the water. He went and ultimately came onto their dry land, onto Nineveh, and gave them Musa, and they listened, and therefore they were successful. So one thing to point out is that many times in life, it's not just one thing, it's a combination. It's a combination of many things which brings success, brings hatzlacha. Sometimes you look, what's the zechus? A person is very successful. What was his zechus? It's not necessarily one thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is one thing, and sometimes it's a combination of multiple things the person did over their life, joined together to bring to merit zechus. Years ago, I used to watch on YouTube. I used to be very fascinated with airplane disasters. It's like a very, very frightening thing. Somehow it gets your adrenaline running. They had these like 40-minute programs, so it was all probably copied legally, and someone put on YouTube they would take famous airplane crashes, airplane disasters, and they would basically reenact them. They would analyze exactly what went wrong and go into very great detail, and they with the investigation, they would show exactly what happened. And what always came out, I only saw a few of these, but it was very, very fascinating. It always came out is it wasn't one thing. It was a combination of multiple things came together to cause this terrible tragedy. And that's interesting, because normally you think, you know, something happens, you always like, it's one thing. This is what went wrong. No, it's never one thing. It's a combination. It's like the perfect storm. A combination of multiple things came together, and bang, that's why this terrible thing happened. Even Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
Hurricane Sandy. There are nor'easters all the time. So why happened to be it was the middle of the month? It was exactly the thing, and the full moon. And I don't know. There were a whole bunch of factors which came together to create the perfect storm. And in life, that's very, very true. One thing, people have insurance. People always, you know, you're always on guard. You always have safeguards in case this happens. So you're protected. Mm-hmm. But when many variables come together at the same time, you can't protect yourself. That's just the perfect storm. So here you get a little taste of that. Is that the success of Ashur was not just because of one thing. It was because there were multiple things which came together which granted them their very great success. I also want to point out that this Medrash that Rashi is quoting is not every... There are conflicting Midrashim. Because there's another very popular Medrash that says they did Teshuvah for a very short time.
Right.
They did Teshuvah, Hashem spared them, and then like a few days later, they went back to their old ways. And Hashem obliterated the whole Ashur. The whole place is wiped out. So how do you reconcile that with this? Did they do tshuva? Did they not do tshuva? They did tshuva. That was for sure they did tshuva. At least immediately they did tshuva. But how long did that tshuva last? This pasuk here seems to indicate that it lasted quite a long time. Seems to say that the success was just off the charts. So how do we reconcile that with the Medrash that seems to say that it was very, very short-lived? Okay, now there's another. Let's see the Radak. Radak says, Pasuk Dalid, Mayim gidluhu. Hayla sheva mayim. They had an abundance of water. Lefichach gadol kolkach kolaymar hoysala hatzlacha gidayla. Asher experienced great success. Tohoim roy mi masu. Zachar tohoim lashon nekeva lashon zachar tohoim asher amar lo bi hi. That's lashon nekeva. V'yamar tam b'lushu lashon oimek the mayim rabim shlo yipasku. Shleipasku kein gidlu lo hoysa lo hefsek yamim rabim ad bo ito. So here he says the tohaim over here is just like the time there is no end to the tohaim. It's infinite. Likewise, the success of Asher was consistent. It did not cease. Es naharos sehalich svivos mataa naharos atohaim kolaymar kolechem min naharos hayotzim min atohaim holchem svivos eres azeh. Each one of the rivers that came forth from the Tohoim would surround this cedar. Shumatan hatohoim. It's the matah, the planting of the Tohoim. Kamo sha'amab tohoim ro mi masu. Vatohoim hu mashal l'toiva v'hatzlacha gadol l'tom of yours. A metaphor for their success. V'yes te olay secha shulcha el kol atse hasada. The irrigation canals went forth to all of the trees of the forest. Omar. These are small rivers. They had enormous success. And all the nations of the world had only a relatively small success. The Yonasan Peirasha Mashal came, the Amaya Sigibis Sum Chivasa to Kaif Yosmalka Shabe Lutchois Malchusev Yashal Toni Mani Al Midnas Ayl. We said before is that his authority extended upon the entire world. Keshulcha Kala Lamadu Yidogesh of the Rosh, Mayim Gilu Tom Ramusu Al Shama Lukol Yon Menemita. Here he quotes the same as Rashi says that the water and the Tohoim alludes to the man who came forth from the water, from the fish in the water, none other than Yonah ben Amitai, Sheyarad, Latahoim, Veshavu Anshe Ninve, Min Hachamas, Asher Bekapehem, and they did shuv from the theft that was in their hands. Okay, so this is the basic on the pasuk. I just want to point out there's a medrash. The medrash over here says, what does it mean that Tahoim Roy Mim Masu? The Tahoim caused Asher to be elevated. So here I learn a secret is that he was one of three people who was obsessed with making for himself a supernatural abode in the Yam. He channeled somehow, he manipulated the flow of water, and he built for himself with a koyach of magic, it says in the Medrash, a magnificent palace in Shamayim, in the heavens, Sancheirif. Who else did this? Melech Tsar did this, and Melech Nebuchadnezzar did this. So there were three people. Now, you know, you see, it's not so bizarre for us to understand this because today, if you're a real world power, if you're worth anything today, you have a space program. Any nation today that has any self-worth has a space program where they participate in building the International Space Station, an attempt to colonize the moon, and have a vision to go to Mars. Isn't that amazing? Who is involved? India is a major player. China is a major player. Russia used to be a major player. Now they're bankrupt. They don't have money for this. But Russia used to do this what? Very schwach.
US also.
They're going back. In the United States, or what?
Their economy is growing at 1.3 GDP this year, Russia.
Okay, now it's not, of course, in political science. Well, that we can talk about another time. Where Russia is heading. Russia's in a lot of trouble, from what I understand.
How about North Korea?
What?
What do you think of North Korea?
I like what Trump said. This guy has nothing better to do. he's on the mark. You know, that was one of the first things that Trump said in a long time. That I liked. What?
His response was, "And you?"
And he said, yeah. Okay, but in any event, it's amazing. Think about it today. Today, any nation that has any muscle, they're involved in building something out of space. You know, they're involved in international. They're a partner in the International Space Station. They explore space. It's interesting. It's nothing has changed. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Over here, dealing with ancient times, what are they all obsessed with? They're all obsessed with building for themselves these supernatural homes through the power of magic. We call it magic. I mean, to go watch a spaceship go up in the sky, to me, is also magic. They forget all the physics, all the engineering. You know, wow, how in the world you get out there to outer space to build a space station? But it's amazing. Ashur was obsessed with this, and that's what it means over here in the pasuk. The waters of Tehoim ro mi masu. He somehow harnessed the power of the Tehoim to do something supernatural, roim, to elevate himself all the way into heaven. Who did this? Ashur and Tsar. He built for himself seven heavens in Shemayim, of all different materials. And Nebuchadnezzar, it says also, we learned that long ago, did the same, maybe even Paro also, I forget already, Paro and Nebuchadnezzar. How come everyone is obsessed with this? Obviously, there's something going on here, over here, where there's a need to go somewhere else. Someone's told me he traveled the whole world. There's not a place, there's not a country in this world, a resort in this world that he did not go and visit and spend time. A multi-billionaire, has nothing to do with his time and money, he loves vacationing. So someone said to him, you traveled the entire world, there's not a place in the world you're not Nana from. So tell me, what are you going to do next year? Where are you going to go for Pesach? Somewhere else. Somewhere else. Where else? I mean, you travel the whole world. You already conquered the whole world. I did it also. Somewhere else. Go to the moon. Go to Mars. There's somewhere else. I think that's really what... That, there's a lot of truth to that idea. If Sancheirav rules the entire world, the guy that has everything, so what's left? What's there left to do anymore? I already was Nene. I already derived benefit from everything there is in this world. They have this need to go somewhere else.
And build something.
To go to Shemayim. What?
And build something. Palaces.
To build. They already built all the palaces in this world. So what more can you do? What more can you do that everyone else? If everyone has a palace, so you make your palace a little bit nicer, you got to do something that's completely different to show that you're in charge. The way you show that you're different, that you're above and beyond everyone else, is you go somewhere else, and that is to outer space. That's really what it's all about. Isn't it? What it's all about? Why is the United States, Russia? Why are they obsessed with going to the moon? What is it? Science? Because you're going to go to the moon, you're going to do a scientific experiment, so now you understand how to heal, the cure for cancer. You really go for that? You really believe that? That's what they tell you, that's what they tell you in elementary school. It's important, space exploration is important because by space exploration we'll be able to understand how the world works and we'll solve all our problems down here on this world. You really believe that? Is that really true? Is that really true? And even if it is true, is it the amount of money, the amount of resource that go into doing these things? I don't know. Something sounds fishy to me. Okay, it sounds a little fishy to me. I think the real cause is it's just a certain gaifa. It's once already you have achieved everything, the way you show that you are different, I'm better than everyone else, I'm better than all the other nations, is I can go to the moon and you can't. So that's really what's going on over here is...
It's a military aspect.
Today it's become more of that in military, because today it's more of a military aspect. But years ago, I don't think when they first started, they had such a suggest of military. They always stories top secret, you know, they do this or that. But maybe, I don't know, maybe.
Well, according to Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah.
A new frontier. That's where we had to go.
Yeah, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Maybe from day one, the entire agenda was military, defense. Maybe. Could be.
Science.
What?
Something is science too. Science.
I told you, yeah, that's what they say. I agree with that. That's what they say.
For the scientists, it was true.
Something doesn't add up.
It's all a combination.
A combination.
Just a matter of economics.
Going nowhere man has gone before. Exactly. But it's a gaiva, and this is rooted, it's nothing new, it's not in the 21st century. Go where no man has gone before is rooted in Sancheiriv, Melech Tsar, and Nebuchadnezzar. They attempted to go where no man has gone before. The Farish and Medrash. What? Migdal Bavel, no, I don't think Migdal Bavel was a plant, was an act of rebellion, Chazal say. It was an act to rebel against Hashem. It was a communal project to build a tower. The tower is really rooted in the earth. I don't know, maybe you're right, maybe there's something there as well. Maybe it follows that idea as well. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey says, okay, therefore, Gofa Koy Maso Mikol Atzei HaSadek. Therefore, your height has been elevated above all of the trees of the field. Vatir Bena Sar Apoisav. Now we have over here a lot of different words to describe branches. Vatir Bena Sar Apoisav. You have increased your branches. Vatir Rachna Poi Roisav. Your branches have been lengthened. Two words here which mean seemingly the same thing, the Sar Apoisav and the Rosov, Mimayim Rabim, Bishalcho, this was because an abundance of water was channeled towards you. Shalcho, it was dispatched, channeled towards you, an abundance of water in order to give forth, to give you the power to grow. Let's see what it's in Pasuk Hey in the Metzudot Stavit. Al Kain, therefore, Hoyle, since Mayim Hishka is so Lachindiv, since there's an abundance of water, Lachindiv, Gavu Kamosav, Rabu Anafav, there are many branches, and you've been able to lengthen yourself to spread out and far. Rashi Pasake says, Sarah Paisav, Anafa means branch, Poi Roisav. I'm sorry, I didn't see something on my page. Next words, Mimayim Rabin Beshalcha, Baruch Hashem, someone is listening, Gvaldik. Mimayim Rabin Beshalcha, it's in the Loimark, Ze, Kol Ze, Hoye, Misibas, Hamayim, Harabim, Shatohoim, Hoye, Mishalech, Bo. So it's not to be translated literally. It's a very hard translation. You have to read it backwards. The word b'shalchoi refers to the mayim rabim is because there was an abundance of water that was sent, that was channeled towards this tree, this forest. That's what gave it the ability to grow so in such a magnificent way. Rashi, very straightforward. Rashi just says there are two different types of branches. There's something called sarapaisav, which is anafav, and poyroisav is zimoyroisav. I do not know the difference between these two words. Maybe one is a thick branch, one is a thin branch. Mimayim rabim b'shalchoy poi roisav. Al yidei mayim rabim b'shalchoy poi roisav. Kloima begadloi poi roisav. Uloshon shiluach noifel bohem. Kamova tishalach poi roisav.
The two words are, one is the abundant, the very large leaves that grow, the fauna was so thick.
Yeah.
And the other word, the next word is closer to the ground. Shehem Hashiplus Yosef Grovos Loretz.
The lower branches.
The lower branches.
The upper branches
and it
versus.
Created such a thick fauna all around that all the animals and all the birds would be there in like a rainforest of sorts.
Shelter.
For the country surrounding area, it had a lot of respect for him because everything was able to live there very well because of the waters. It had such a thick...
All of the natural resources.
Of life.
So you're saying that the first word is the tall branches, right. The second word the lower branches. Okay. Now, if you notice, Rashi disagrees with the Mitzudos. Rashi translates the word b'shalcho, which is referring to the branch. The branches grew. The branches sent forth themselves. They expanded. They developed. Whereas the Mitzudos understands the word b'shalcho refers to the water. Okay, according to Rashi, I think the pasuk is more consistent because the pasuk says three different expressions: vater bena, vater rachna, and now it says bishalcho. So it says over here there are three different adjectives, three different ways that the branches increased, they were extended, and they sent forth themselves. According to Rashi, Mitzudos, the word bishalcho is not referring to the branches; it is referring to the water. The water was channeled towards the tree, and that's what gave the tree the ability to grow and thrive. Look at the Rashi again. Rashi says, Mimayim Rabim, Mimayim Rabim Bishalcho, Po Rosof. The branches were sent forth, which basically means the branches developed. Al Yidei Mayim Rabim, that's why Bishalchoi Po Rosof, the branches sent forth themselves. Kiloimar, Begadloi Po Rosof. It's explicit. the branches grew. Ulashon shiluach, this expression, shiluach, noifel bohen, it is used in reference to the branches. Kimo vatishalach poirois, like it says in this the pasuk before, to send forth branches. Okay, it gets down with the mitzvahs, clearly says it refers to the water. Let's see what there are the access. Pasuk hey, al kain gava kemasa ha'alap in makam hey. So he points out that two hays. Gov ha, okay. Vatirbena sar apoisa, vatirachna poirosov, ho inyin kofel. B'miloi shaynos, point of competition, ki sara poisov, kumo sa poisov, is the same, v'ha so'if, and the so'if, v'ha poira, echad b'shemois shaynim, v'ho'ed miso'if pura. There's another example, we have the same two that come together, miso'if pura, two words which mean the same thing, which are put together for poetic repetition. Okay, sara poisov, k'sibolo yud, haribu k'ribu yud, kumo rabim. There's a missing a yod. General rule of diktuk is when you're lacking a yod, it's lashon yachid. When there is a yod, it's lashon rabim. Moireinu. The word moireinu could mean either plural or singular. What's the difference? If there's no yod in the word our teacher, moireinu, if there's no yod, it means one rebbe, one teacher. When there's a yod, it means many, multiple means many teachers. So here also it says parasav, we're missing over here a yud in the kri, in the ksiv. It doesn't matter really, sar apoisav, we're missing a yud, which would seem to indicate that we're dealing with a single branch, but really the truth is we pronounce it as if there's a yud, it's only the same pronunciation anyway, and it means loshon rabim. Next, mimayim rabim shalchoy b'shalach hatohoyim mayim rabim. So here you right away see that the mitzud, the radak, is learning the pasuk like the mitzudos. The word bishalach refers to the water. The water sent forth mayim rabim sviv oisav kamo she'amar ume oisam mayim rabim orchu poir oisav. And due to the abundance of water, the branches grew very, very well. All right, let's go further. Pasuk vabisa poisav kinnu kolif hashemayim. In its branches, all the birds of heaven, they set up their nests. They live there. Betachas poir oisav, underneath the branches. Yoldu, they gave birth to their children. They laid eggs. Yoldu, kol chayos hasoda, all of the animals of the field, they gave birth underneath these branches. Uvitziloi in its shade, yeshu, they dwelt. Kol goyim rabim, all of the nations. Pasuk zayin, vayif. What does it mean, vayif? This is an unusual word. It means beautiful. Okay, it's yifei noif. Okay, yifei noif, it goes to the word yifei. Vayif begodloi, it became beautiful in its development. Be'orech dol liyosof, in the length of its branches. Here we have another word for a branch. Kihaya sharsha, why? What gave it the power to become beautiful and to expand? It's because it had a good economy. Kihaya sharsha el mayim rabim, because its roots were entrenched amongst the great waters. Let's see these two. What?
Good irrigation.
Good irrigation. It was good. There was good irrigation. It was the abundance of water, the Tehoim, the Mayim, the rivers, the irrigation canals. There was no shortage of water, and that's what gave Ashur the power, this tree, the metaphor, to become beautiful and to be successful.
Well, but he says that the Abrahamidel makes a point of saying that the other nations attributed it to God, so they thought that he was obviously blessed by God, and they gave respect to Ashur because of that.
They recognized
right,
his success.
They attributed it to God.
You're not supposed to play around. If you see someone who's very successful, Umar says, if someone is very successful, stay away. I mean, don't challenge him. Don't chat, because you're not going to be able to overcome him. If he's enjoying success, divine bracha, that's l'mala miderech hateva, and you have an issue with him, and you want to take him to court, you want to fight, you want to tweet something, better hold back, because if someone is enjoying Hatzlacha, then you're not going to be able to overcome them. Let's see what it says in these two psukim, pasuk vav and zayin in the mitzudos. Vav says bis apoisav kol ha'oifais asu li'atzman kain. Every bird established, made for themselves a nest. Umekoyim madar a place to live, Bein Anafav. So that basically means that every nation had an embassy. It was worthy for every nation to set up an embassy in the nation of Ashur. It was worthy because this was where all the action was. The Sachas Poyrosav Heim Honav Mahasimuchim Laretz, like you said, Rabbi Mevsky, these are the branches that are near the earth. The Sachtehem Yoldu Kol Chayas Asadalios Mekoy Mechuse, they had shelter. Uvit Siloi Tachas Silo Yeshu Kol Agoyim, which are the Lemar Babur Marbis Hahashpa, Godlo Memshalto, Mikomal Chiodama, due to their success. All the nations were subordinate to the king of Ashur. Pasuk Zayin.
Use that English word in the forest canopy.
Right.
He's at Emechusa.
Yes.
The forest canopy.
Right.
Pasuk Zayin. Here's a good vocabulary word. A new word that we have not had in a long time. Vayif. Vayif means beauty. Yofe hoya, it was beautiful, the God lo, yofe noif. Okay, this is the same, it's not really, it's yofe noif, it's a nun in pace, I take it back, it's vayif, okay, yofe hoya be God lo, im orech adoli yosav, with its long branches, ki ilan gadol nechshav loy li yofi orech adoli yosav. What is the beauty of a tree? The beauty of a tree is defined by its long branches. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what he means by that. You can't have long branches without being a very tall tree. Okay. You need a lot of water. If you don't have the water, then you're not going to survive. His success was rooted due to the blessing that Hashem bestowed upon him. Rashi pasuk vav and zayin bis apoysa be'anafav kinenu l'shon kain nest vayif l'shon yofi dolioysav af heim l'shon anafim. Another word for a branch. Hanetuyim l'orech. Long branches, l'chol tzadk, and all their old sides, come in delios hakerem, similar to the branches or the vines of the vineyard. Okay. All right, let's see Radak, quickly, Pasik of Vav and Zayin, Vav, Bisapesa, Pairois, Ha'alef, Bekodim HaReish. The Aleph here becomes before the Reish. Pairoisav, okay, and I think that it's interchanged. Sometimes the resh comes before the aleph, sometimes the aleph comes before the resh. Keves, kesef, simla, salma, all of those examples, sometimes these two letters can be interchanged. B'yoynesam tergem ha-moshel kain b'mashir yosei kabesh kol karkain, in his tents, he conquered all of the cities takifin. He basically ruled over the entire world. Pasek zayin vayif hayod harishon may a son. So the first yud is not part of the shayrish. The second yud is the first letter of the shayrish. Hapoyal shirasha yofe. So the shayrish is hey. The shayrish is the poyal pei ayin lamed. The second yud is the pei hapoyal. The pei is the ayin hapoyal. And there is no Lamed HaPoel. Over here, the last letter of the Shoresh disappeared into thin air. Because the Shoresh is Yofeh. Yofeh has a He at the end. Where did the He go? It disappeared. So this word only has two letters of the Shoresh, the Yud and the Pei. So why then is there another Yud? The other Yud is a prefix. It's not really, I don't know if a prefix, but it's not. He calls it the term. He goes, Harishon Mei Eson. Eson, I think, Aleph Yud Sof Nun. Are letters which are, I think they're like vowels. They serve as vowels in the beginning of a word at different times. Okay, the Amar Ha'esan, if he goes into more detail, let's just forget about it. Let's go further. The first one is Achirik, Vayif, and the second one is nothing, it's empty, there's no vowel in the second yud. Likrias ben Osher va'yif. B'shva harishoin, והחירק השני, וקצת סוער מוצץ בחירק הראשון ומשרוע השנייה לבן אושר, וזו יקריא נכונה על משקל ויש ממני שווי. But that's not our Messer. So over here, just want to point out over here, the Radak is reminding us that there are two major traditions. There's Ben Naphtali and Ben Osher. Okay, how many differences are there between Ben Naphtali and Ben Osher? I actually wrote that down on my computer. I wrote that down once. I have it over here. I forgot. I was reading about this. All details I can't remember. My mind is blank, like always. But there are two major traditions, Ben Naphtali, Ben Osher. And here he points out that this word Vayif is a machlekes Ben Naphtali, Ben Osher, how you should vowelize these three letters. What we have in front of us in our editions is according to Ben Naphtali, which is unusual. Because Rubduruba, most of our Masorah today is based upon Ben Osher. If you want to learn more about Ben Naphtali, Ben Osher, the best write-up that I saw is in Rabbi Reisman's book, Pathway to the Prophets. In the back of the book, there are two sections to the book. The second section has a chapter devoted to explain everything you need to know about the two classic traditions which go back, who knows, only maybe even 2,000 years. 2,000 years, there were two families. There were two famous families that were known to preserve the tradition exactly the way Tanakh should be written. Every single letter and how each word is to be vowelized, and there's a significant number of differences between these two traditions, the tradition of the family of the Ben Osher family and the Ben Naphtali family. And most of what we have today in our printed versions of Tanakh are based upon Ben Osher, but here we have a notable exception that the word Vayif here is vowelized like Ben Naphtali, because according to Ben Osher it would be Vayif. I don't know how you pronounce it, Vayif. It would be the first yud would have a shva, and the second would have a chirik, and that would be consistent with, he said, I don't know how anything of this works, with the word Vayishp Mimenu Shevi in Parshas Chukas, right? Parshas Chukas. Okay, so let's now go to the next word. The long branches. This comes from the word Arumimcha Shemki Dilisani. Now he's saying over here in something entirely different. The word Daliyosav, we translated this means, okay, the exalted branches, Hashem Ki Dilisani, he's saying a novel translation in the Pasuk that we say every day, Mizmashir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. How do you translate the word Ki Dilisani? Well, I was always brainwashed, as it says in the art scroll, right? I think when it says in the art scroll, you have lifted me up. Dali Sunny means to uplift me. I have an article sitting here, we'll look at it later on. I praise you, Hashem, Ki Dili Sunny. You have lifted me, you have taken me out of my lowliness. Like Lashon of Dal. Dal means poor. So when you take the word Dal and you play with it, Dili Sunny, you took me, you lifted me from my state of being.
Would be like dolo,
dolo, he. Oh no, but that's Arumimcha. Arumimcha, I pray a key dili, right? Dolo, 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 right? So that, but yeah. Where does it come from? It's like one of those, it's one of the part of that set of words which means the opposite. Mm-hmm. So yeah, like Yishrosh, Yisharesh, Yiskol, Yisokel. So dili sunny means Lashon of Dal. And when you play with it, it means you've lifted me up from my state of being a dal. I'm no longer a dal. I've been elevated. But
when they get the water,
they lift the water out of the well. Dali is a bucket. Mm-hmm. Dali is a bucket, because what do you do when you put the bucket into the well? You lift, you raise the water from the depths of the well to a higher state. So Dili Sani means Dal, same idea. But he's saying something entirely different.
Yeah, but it's a double thing. When you put the bucket, you first
lower it. So that's the question. The Dili is the bucket, which is, you think it's lower. The bucket is called a Dili because you lower it to the very, very bottom. In this word, I was always under the assumption that the word Dili Sani has nothing to do with a branch. The word Dili Sani comes from the word Dal, comes from the word Dili, a bucket. which means, Hashem, I thank you, I praise you, I praise you because you have taken me from a lowly state. You have lifted me out of my lowly state. But that's not what the Radak says. The Radak says the word Dilisadi means a branch. Can't be more explicit. Heim, Ho'anafim, Ho'ramim. These are the exalted branch of the tree. There's the Poros, there are the Se'aposof, all these funny words for branches, which I don't even know what they are, but they're all different types of branches. And one of the words for a branch is Doliosof, like we saw before by a vineyard. The vineyard, that's the classic term for the vines, the Doliosof. So he says when it comes to a tree, Doliosof means these exalted branches. Remember, Hashem ki Dilisani means you made me into a branch. You have, I praise you, Hashem, because you have allowed me to grow and develop into a magnificent branch on a tree. It fits well because what is man? Ki ha'odam eitz hasodeh. Man is the eitz, is the eitz hasodeh. Maybe come sit with me. Come in my mechitzas. Come with me.
What?
I recall, your seat is available. I told him to move. It's my fault. Shkoyach, thank you.
Shkoyach.
What?
Yeah.
Right, let's try that, I find.
Because right. You wouldn't be able to pronounce it that way. So therefore, the Shva and then the Chivrik.
I change. Okay.
So
but
it's impossible to say it otherwise.
All right, okay. All right. No, you could say it. Va, ye, yif.
No, then you're not saying a Shva. It should be ye.
So it's like a shvana.
Yeah.
Va-yif.
The Ferris Akriya. It's just too difficult.
Okay, fine, okay.
The question is, how do you pronounce? There's two ways to pronounce a shva.
No, the shva depends. The shva changes to a shvana, shvana, depending on the other conditions. So even though it would be va-yif, that would be a possibility.
You sound like two chiriks. It just doesn't work out well.
All right, you can
That's
debate this.
Okay.
We can debate. Okay. I accept. Okay. So let's just put over here. We have over here a fascinating radak that translates over here. The word Delioso does not mean dal. It means a magnificent branch, and in, therefore it gives you a whole new interpretation when you say in the Mizmar Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David when you make that Mizmar. Ki Dilisani. Dilisani means Hashem, you have made me into a magnificent branch. A person is a tree, he automates a sada, and the success of the tree is that he produces nice branches. So that's a very big shavach. Now that interpretation is a much richer interpretation than the classic art school interpretation, because when you say ki delisani, it doesn't mean that you're successful. It just means you're not a failure. Mm-hmm. It's one thing not to be a failure. You're a dal. Okay, I make a living. I make $25,000. But no one's gonna have any respect for me. If I make $25,000, yeah. I can live in the basement. I can live in the basement. I can pay for my cell phone. Baruch Hashem. I'm not on food stamps. That's no joke. Chas de Hashem. But am I gonna get shlishi? No, they're not gonna have any respect. That I gotta be making for that at least six figures, right? At least I gotta be making for that. So when you say Armim Hashem ki dili sonny, you have lifted me out of the depths. Baruch Hashem, I'm not depressed. I'm not in the trenches. But it doesn't mean that I'm a successful person. When you say, I remember Hashem ki dilisani like the Radak, that you've made me into a magnificent branch on a tree, that says I'm the top. I'm the best. I'm successful. I have respect because I am a magnificent branch. So it's a very different interpretation of this word. He said the Rashi also said the Doliosof Afim Lashon Anofim. But I know. I know. Rashi is the same. Rashi does not connect it to the Pasuk in Tehillim. Rashi just says, of course, that's what it means over here. In this context, it's a given that's what it means. From Shutim Ad Ma'ot. But the Radak goes so far to say that it's like the Pasuk. I remember Hashem Ki Dili Sunny. Maybe when we look in Tehillim, Rashi doesn't say that over there. Okay, let's go further. Next, the original medrash over here. Now we go to Pasuk Ches, it's the famous Pasuk Daf Yomi. Arozim loy amamuhu began elokim. Now here we're getting into some mysticism. We're getting over here into the Gan Elokim. This is very interesting. This is an interesting stuff over here. It's mentioned a few times. It's a very good Malbo is something very fascinating, really, on the next page. But over here, when we're describing Ashur, all of a sudden we are becoming very religious. And we're comparing him to the cedars to not become, we're not dimmed, his cedars, we're not dimmed, Began Elokim. In other words, let's say Pashup Shah. In the Gan Elokim, the Garden of Hashem, Gan Eden, that's where you find the real deal. If you want to know where to find the best, the most beautiful trees, the most luscious fruits, where are you going to find it if not in the Gan Eden? Anything in this world pales in comparison to
the expression, Tam Gan Eden.
The Tam Gan Eden. So saying, would his success was so great, even in Gan Eden, they were put to shame. Even the trees in Gan Eden paled, that's what it says, in comparison to the success of Melech Ashur. His trees were more beautiful. Arozim, his trees, loy amamu, they were not dulled. People did not say, it's nothing compared to what I've seen in Gan Eden, the Gan Elokim. Adarabba, in Gan Elokim, they were looking, wow, look, there's something even better than Gan Eden. Look what Ashur has. Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing idea. Bereishim loy damu el sa paisav. Amongst his broshim, the broshim trees that he had, there was no comparison. El sa paisav, relating to its branches, the branches of his, you have to read the words backwards. Like, as el sa paisav bereishim, the branches that were found amongst his broshim lo damu, there was no comparison. The armoinim lo hayu kifoy roisav. Palaces, armoinim, I'm assuming over here means.
No, he's saying actually chestnuts.
Okay, I'm sorry, chestnuts. Lo hayu kifayros. Amongst his chestnuts, this type of tree, lo hayu kifayros, there were no branches in the existence in this world that came anywhere near the branches of his, of the armoinim. We'll see in Masuda soon. Kol eitz began. Now he repeats this.
It's a plain tree.
Kol eitz began Elokim loy dama elah biyafio. There was no tree in Gan Eden that compared to his beauty. Okay, that's pretty significant stuff. Let's see what it says here in Pasuk Ches in the Mitzvot Tavit. Arazim loy amamuhu lohoy arazim began Elokim sheyastiru. There were no cedars in Gan Eden sheyastiru v'yichasu eso eres hazed, that would conceal, that would cover over this ereski hu ho'ila al kulam. It was the most magnificent. It was taller. So first here he's describing height. In the next end of the pasuk, I got confused, is where he's describing beauty. Al kulam the yoiser nigla v'nira mehem. It was taller than any cedar that can be found in Gan Elokim. The next words are beroshim ilone berosh lo hayu doim mel siifei ho'eres ahu. So he says here, and I didn't say it correctly, according to the Mitzudos, is that normally the Barosh tree is more magnificent than the Eres. That's the normal way the world is. The Barosh tree is taller. Yet the Eres of Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, was even more magnificent than the Baroshim of the world. So you can imagine, Alachas Kamakama, how large his Baroshim trees were. The Baroshim, the Ilani Barosh, Lohayu Doimim, were not similar, El Si'ife Ho'erezahu, to the branches of this Erez, even though normally it should be, but this Erez was so magnificent. The Armoinim, Ilane Armoin, a certain type of tree, saying it's chestnut, Lohayu Ka'anfe Ho'erezahu, was also not as magnificent as the Erez, even though normally the Armoinim are taller, but not in this case. Called eitz mishar mineh eitzim l'damo. Yitzan lema lohoi melech ba'olam. There was no king in the world. Gadol menu b'sodav mashlo yosem imalchei umos. His princes, they ruled much more, had much more authority, power than all the kings of the world. Rashi pasuk ches says loy amamuhu, was not dulled. The Mitzudos said. The Mitzudos, he didn't really say that. The Mitzudos, the reason why I make a point is because the Gemara quotes this pasuk as a source for a halacha of reciting the bracha boirei me'oirei ha'esh. We'll come to that in a moment. Let's just see a precise translation. According to the Mitzudos, the word amamu means inyan haseser ve'hakisui, concealment. According to Rashi, doesn't mean that. It means dulled. Lo kihu to'aro. Its appearance...
Dimmed.
What? Dimmed.
Dimmed was, or kihu, like weakened.
Weakened. It's not the same as what the Mitsudo says. Lo kihu to'aro is dimmed. His appearance is not dimmed. Kolama lo hoya bohem echa nor mimenu. He learns the beginning of the pasuk refers to beauty. The Mitsudos was very careful to explain that the beginning of the pasuk refers to height, because the end of the pasuk will explicitly discuss beauty. But Rashi does not have the problem. Rashi says you can repeat the same thing twice, poetic repetition. So the beginning of the pasuk refers to beauty, and the end also refers to beauty. Began elokim kloimar. So Rashi puts a Rashi calms us down. Don't get carried away. And think of here referring to Gan Eden, which others Farshim do mean, take literally. But Rashi says Gan Elokim means klema b'chol olam, in the entire world. Just a metaphor is that no matter wherever you go in the world, you're not going to find anything that comes anything in comparison to the greatness of Sancher of Ashur.
By the way, there's another place that refers to it, Kigan Hashem.
Yeah, Mitzrayim.
Mitzrayim.
Sodom,
Kigan Hashem, Ke'eretz Mitzrayim. In Echanan, very good. There it says Kigan Yudke Vavke. What does it say there in the apostle?
Yeah.
Here it's Gan Elokim. So what's the chiluk? That itself is a subject, topic of discussion. There's Gan Elokim and there's Gan Yudke Vavke. What's the chiluk between these two different places? And what about Eden? Where is Eden going to come? There's going to be a lot about Eden soon. There's some interesting midrashim that what exactly Gan Eden is. B'roishim, next words of Rashi, V'armonim, okay, Rachel, we have over here a translation for us. We were waiting for you the whole morning.
Chestnut.
So these are very tall, chestnut trees are tall?
Yeah.
Is that true? Yeah?
Oh, big.
They're very big?
And big leaves.
Big leaves? And they're tall? They're very tall?
In Yiddish, we say chestnut tree, chestnut.
What does that mean?
Chestnut.
Chestnut, okay. Now, pasuk, okay, pasuk test, we're going to leave. Pasuk test, again, discusses Eden. We'll have to wait a moment. Let's first see the Radak. Radak, pasuk ches, says, Arozim loy amamu, k'mo kol sasim loy amamucha, inyin hester v'kitzu v'tolemo harozim, the cedar trees, hagvayim shayim began elukim lo yastiru v'lo yichasu ki hu ola al kulam, they're tall. This an exaggeration. There it says both words. Look at that. In my celebration, and here we're breaking it up. Here in Yecheskel, it's Gan Elokim, and in Chumash, it's by Sodom, it's Gan Hashem. So each one had a different element. Sodom had the Gan Hashem, and Sancheiriv had the Gan Elokim. Hashem made both together. Vayita Hashem Elokim Gan Be'eden. They're both dimensions. What does that mean? There's obviously Chaymer LeDrush. Chaymer LeDrush, make a half an hour drasha, what exactly, to figure out what the significance of comparing these two places to Gan Hashem, Gan Elokim. V'ar moinim, k'moy luz v'ar moin. Ah, so over here it tells that Yaakov luz v'ar moin. Was it by Yaakov Inu? Yaakov Inu, so it was chestnuts. The makel, so over there he had luz, the makel was made from armoin, chestnut wood. Next, Oymim Shahu, Ilan Shakarin, he calls Ilan Shakarin
Kastanir.
That's chestnut. Kefoy Roysov, okay, here we have some grammar, Khan, Horesh, Koydim Aleph, he points out that we go back and forth sometimes the Aleph and the Resh. Okay, we discussed that before. We'll leave the rest out. Okay, you probably don't have anything more. I have a whole long thing here in brackets. Okay, now before we go further, this pasuk cannot forget to mention is a source. You probably sound familiar this pasuk because Tanu Rabbanan Gecholim B'Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Nun Gimel B'Gemara Masechta Shabbos Masechta Pesachim in three different places in the Gemara Gecholim Leichashois Mevarchin Aleihem. You can make the bracha. Oimimois ein mevarchin aleihem. Are you allowed to make a bracha on a coal? Are you allowed to make a bracha on an incandescent light bulb? This is in the Makar.
Yes.
on an incandescent light bulb, there is no ma'esh mamish. It's a coal. It's a piece of metal that's red hot. A piece of metal that's red hot is the same thing as a piece of wood that's also red hot. It's a coal. Absolutely, you can make a bracha. You can make a bracha on gecholim lechashos. Rebelsky was of the opinion that fluorescent bulbs, there's a filament. People don't know this. There's a filament, the tip of the fluorescent bulb which ignites the gas to turn, to give light, and that filament gets red hot, and that's also, in his eyes, called Eish Mamish. He held that fluorescent bulbs had the status of the same status as incandescent bulbs. You can make a Baimara Eish. Has the same status as incandescent bulbs. It's the same thing, it's just it's much smaller. It's a much smaller scale, but it's there, and that it has to get red hot in order to ignite the gas in the fluorescent bulbs. What about
does
LEDs?
It stay?
What? It's, I think it stays on.
That stays on even after the...
I don't know. It seems like he held it. If he can make a bracha, it seems that he held it. It did stay on. That's what it seems. That's what it seems. You have to go online and look at Wikipedia, see the technology and how exactly it works. This was his opinion. I mean, not all Paiskim agreed with that. Many Paiskim held that fluorescent bulbs is primarily a gas, and you cannot use it for Boirei Mori Ha'esh, and you cannot use it to make a bracha to light Shabbos candles Friday night. What about LED? That's a whole new world. I have no idea. LED is a whole new world. But any event over here, what about if the coals are not loichashois? The coals are oimimois. Oimimois means they're dulled. Okay, oimimois ein mevarach en alim. If they're oimimois, you may not make a bracha. Hechidami oimimois. What's called loichashois? Om Rabbi Chisa kol she'ilu machnis l'sechen kisa midolekes me'olecha. If you put a little splinter into the coal and it burns, that's called lechashos. But if you put a little twig and nothing happens, that's called oimimois. And then the Gemara has a question. The question is ibarilahu oimimois oimimois. What is the correct spelling? It's a very strange Gemara. What is the correct spelling? Is it with an aleph or is it with an ayin? Tashma dem avchis baravdimi arazim. So the Gemara here quotes this pasuk. Arazim loy amamuhu began elokim. And how is it spelled? With an ayin. And what's the other pasuk? There's another pasuk I should have over here. Perik lamed aleph. And what is? No, it's not here. It's a shame. I don't have it. It's very good. Okay, there's another pasuk in Tanakh that says it with an aleph. So l'may nafkamina, the nafkamina over here is exactly what it means, oimimais. There are different types. I don't have it, I apologize. Maybe the Radak, or no, Radak didn't quote it. Does the Malm quote it? I don't think so. Okay, I don't remember the other pasuk. There's a nafkamina. There are two pasukim in Tanakh. One pasuk in Tanakh has it with an aleph, one has it with an ayin. And the nafkamina is what is the degree of dullness? So here it says, Arazim loy amamu began elokim, they were not dulled. Now when you compare this pasuk, I have maybe tomorrow, but when you compare this pasuk to the other pasuk, you analyze how the word is being used. In one pasuk, the degree of dullness is greater than the other. So therefore, there will be an nafkamina lecha lemaisa, if you have a coal, and it's not flaming, okay? But it's dying out, but there are different degrees of how much the coal is dying out. And that has a nafkamina if the Gemara says with an aleph or an ayin. Here, amamuhu, began alukim, what does it mean, amamuhu? When you contrast this pasuk with the other pasuk, which I cannot recall from memory, I apologize, with an aleph, you see different types of degrees of dullness, and that would be a nafkamina lahalacha. If you can use such a call toward the bracha of Boirei Me'oirei Ho'esh. Okay, we'll stop here. There's a lot more stuff about Gan Eden that will come up tomorrow. We'll be there in Pasuk Tes, in the Malbim, and elsewhere.
Oh, wait, you asked a question.